Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. Well, good morning. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm lead pastor here. Yeah. And we are honored you're here. Thank you for joining us in the room, and thank you if you're joining us online. We are in the middle of a series called For Better or Worse. It is a series on marriage, but the cool thing is the truths contained within it are pretty universal. They apply to all relationships. But hey, if you've missed any of the last few weeks, or maybe today's your very first time with us, I kind of want to start by going backwards where we've been for the last few weeks so that we can kind of all keep up and catch up and move on to see what God wants us to do today. So as we get started, I say this every week, if you don't have it already, grab our app. It's a great way to stay connected, but also if you did miss weeks one and two, we put our content there, so you can go back, you can watch, you can catch up. If you hear something today, if you're like, man, I want to know more about that, you can go back, you can see now what we've been talking about, because we've kind of taken a different approach to a marriage series. There's really a concept that I believe most of us weren't taught, and so we miss in marriage. And this concept really is kind of the key to marriage, and it's one of the main reasons I think marriages, when they do fall apart, when they do fail, is because we don't understand this idea, and it's this. It's that completeness is something we bring to, not expect from, our marriage. So we've all seen the movies, we've all seen the TV shows, and we've all been told, hey, you need to go find the person who completes you. You need to go find the person that makes you happy. You need to go find the person that makes you whole. And if the person you're with doesn't do that, you just have the wrong person. So you need to go find the right person. You need to go find your better half so that you can be complete. And over the last few weeks, we've learned, hey, Jesus says, no, that's the opposite. I will complete you, and then you can bring that completeness to your marriage. You can bring that completeness to your career. You can bring that completeness to your friendships. You can bring that completeness to your parenting. And so we began the series with a prayer. Hey, Jesus, will you make me whole so that I can bring my whole self to my marriage? And so if we want to bring our whole selves to our marriage, that leads us to another question we've been wrestling with. And the question is this: okay, so how do I become a whole person? How do I do that? If I'm supposed to bring wholeness to my marriage, how do I become that person? Here's what we learned last week. We learned that a whole person partners with Jesus to take full responsibility for their lives. To fully own, hey, this is me. These are my deficits. These are my strengths. Jesus, I know you can fill these deficits. I know you can make me whole. I'm going to take full responsibility for my life. And in that wholeness, I believe that you can make me the man, you can make me the woman you want me to be, so I can love the way you want me to love. And last week, we kind of began a process of how we do this. And if you're here, you know we talked about it. The steps are simple. We got to follow Jesus. Just as important, we have to believe Jesus. We have to believe Jesus when he says he can help. We have to believe Jesus when he says he can make us whole. Because as we follow and believe, that is where we find the ability to love our spouses, to love our kids, to love our neighbors, to even love our enemies. We do that out of wholeness. And so, if you were here last week, you know, we covered a ton of content. And I told you last week, hey, we got to cover all this content. And then for the next 2 weeks, weeks three and four of the series, we're going to kind of slow down a little bit, and we're going to unpack all this. We're going to figure out how we do this, and that's what we're going to do today, okay? We're going to learn how we follow this process. How do we follow Jesus? How do we believe Jesus? How does that actually make us a whole person? But before we kind of dive in, there's something that I know some, maybe many of you have been thinking, especially if you're married. Week one, you kind of rolled with it. Week two, you were like, okay, he's going to get to this eventually. And now it's week three. And I'm still talking about you, and you're married. And it's kind of bubbling up inside of you because you keep thinking, we keep talking about me, they're the problem. When do we talk about them? Because so far we've talked about how I need to become a whole person and how I need to turn to Jesus and how I need to run to Jesus and how when there's a problem in my marriage, I need to own it. And I, why are we talking about my spouse? Because they are the one that loses their temper too often. They are the one that struggles. They are the one that drinks too much. They are the one that spends too much. They are the one that broke the trust. It was them. So why, in a series about marriage, a series about relationships, a series about two people, why, Trey, do you keep talking to me? Why do you keep saying what I need to do? I'm not the problem. Doesn't that feel good to get it off your chest? Some of you are wondering, how did you know I was thinking of that? Because I know. Because I've been doing this for a long time. So let me give you two reasons why we're talking about us instead of them. One's practical, one's spiritual. Practically speaking, the reason we talk about us in the relationship instead of them in the relationship is because us is the only thing we can control. It's the only thing we have any power over. I'm 43 years old. For probably 40 of those years, I have been actively trying to get other people to behave differently than they were behaving. Never worked. The only person I've successfully changed is myself. And the same is true for you. We can't control other people. We can't change other people. We can't even change our spouse. We can't. And so practically speaking, it makes sense because I want to be helpful to talk about things we actually can do. And the one thing we all can control in our marriages, in our future marriages, is us. So it makes perfect sense to spend our time talking about us. And I'm not the only one who thinks so. I said there's a practical reason and a spiritual reason. Spiritually speaking, Jesus agrees. In fact, in what many consider the most famous sermon he ever taught, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, he addresses this issue. He addresses the people who are like, look, I'm in this relationship, but I'm not the problem. They're the problem. I need you to fix them. I'm good. They're the ones with the issues. I hope they're listening. You've told me not to elbow, but I've elbowed. I've been elbowing. Okay, I get it. I get it. So let's turn to Jesus. Because again, he gives us command for all relationships, but it perfectly applies to marriage. Here's what he says. He says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Now, I think this is one of the more misunderstood passages in the New Testament. Because when it says do not judge, he does not mean don't discern. He doesn't mean don't be wise. What he means is don't demean, don't dismiss, don't condemn, don't sentence to punishment. Don't decide, well, I'm the good one and they're the bad one, and so it's all their fault, and I have the ability to be superior to them, and they need to get their act together, and it's all them. He's saying, no, don't do that. And there's a very practical reason why, especially in marriage, we shouldn't do that. He says, if you do, you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. He's not talking about a relationship with him. He's talking about a relationship with each other. He's talking about a relationship with our spouses. And he's saying, hey, if you are constantly going around trying to catch your spouse, looking for what they did wrong, trying to point it out and make it, and elevating yourself above them, the same thing is going to happen to you. For example, I have heard that in some relationships that one person has a bit of a stronger temper than the other. I've heard this. You guys heard this? So let's imagine that there's a married couple, and let's just say one of the spouses, I mean, we'll call him Trey, has a bad temper, and occasionally will lose that temper on, we'll call him his three sons. And let's say the other spouse, who is sweet and lovely and wonderful and really doesn't have a temper, we'll call her Danielle. gets frustrated when the spouse with the bad temper loses his temper. And, you know, sometimes, not often, but sometimes, we'll kind of judge. I don't know why you do that. Why do you have to be so mean? Why do you have to do so and so? It can make the spouse with the temper problems feel bad. Oh, no. I've really blown it. You've probably all experienced this in some way, shape, or form. The person with the bad temper loses the temper, and it's bad. It's wrong. Don't do that. Then occasionally, very occasionally, the spouse that doesn't lose her temper, again, we called her Danielle, will, on the rarest of occasion, lose her temper on the three sons. And the spouse who always gets in trouble for losing his temper sees that and goes, "Oh, oh, you just did the thing you yelled at. You did it. You did it." Well, it's different when I do it. See, this has happened to you as well. What Jesus is saying, he's saying, hey, there's a better way than that. There's a better way. Than looking and comparing and aha, but you did this and aha, you did that. Aha, aha, aha. There's a better approach. And here's why. Here's why you should try a better approach. He keeps going. He says, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a plank in your own? He says, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the plank in your own eye? Now, Jesus is using very vivid imagery here. He's talking about a speck. That's like a little splinter. It's like the thing you get in your finger or your kids get, and you have to try to pull it out, and they act like, you know, they're going to die if it doesn't get out. Remember the splinters? He's comparing that to a plank. A plank was a huge board, like what they would use to build floorboards, things like that. And what he's saying is, hey, why are you spending so much time, let's talk about a marriage in here, focusing on the splinters that your spouse struggles with instead of dealing with the planks you yourself struggle with? Why are you focusing on small issues and you're overlooking the big issues in your own heart? And you want to say, but my spouse doesn't have small issues. They're big. They're toxic. They're scary. They're big issues. And Jesus would say, I'm not actually talking about the size of the issue. I'm talking about your control over it. I'm talking about the awareness you have of it. We will always be more aware and have way more control over the issues we have in our life, over the issues we have in our heart, than we will ever have over our spouses. And so Jesus is saying, hey, rather than always trying to keep score, rather than always trying to one-up, rather than saying, ha, 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 got you messed up too, he said, rather than doing that, why don't you step back and acknowledge you've got struggles, they've got struggles, and since you both have struggles, why don't you take a different approach? And here's what he says. First, get rid of the plank in your own eye. First, when there's tension, first, when there's going to be a fight, when there's a struggle, when you are at odds, first, before you point, before you accuse, before you judge, before you demean, before you dismiss, before you say, ha ha, I got you messed up this time, I didn't do it, ha ha, all that stuff. Before you do that, first, get rid of the plank in your own eye. First, say, you know what? I got issues too. And then, watch this. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. He's not saying to dismiss their issues either. He's just saying, just start with yourself. First, in all situations, own what you're bringing to it. And what we've been learning for the last few weeks is as we do that, that's how we become the men and women God wants us to be. That's how we become whole people. Because remember, if we want to become a whole person, how do we do it? We have to follow Jesus, which means we have to follow when he says, start with ourselves. And we have to believe him when he says, hey, if you trust me and if you come to me and you let me deal with what's going on in you first, then I'll give you all the grace and all the love and all the compassion and all the mercy, all the things you actually need to help your spouse. In other words, you follow me, you believe me, before you know it, you'll be loving like me. So that's why we start with ourselves. Because Jesus says so. Because it's the only way to actually help our spouse. It's the only way to actually be the men and women that they need us to be. And so for the rest of our time today, we're going to talk about those first two. How do we follow and believe Jesus with ourselves? How do we own ourselves? How do we own what we bring to marriage? The next week as we wrap up, we'll see, okay, once we've done that, here's what it looks like to love like Jesus. So for today, I want to go back to what Jesus said, and I want to give us a standard. And again, this standard is universal. It applies to our relationships. But in your marriage, in your future marriage, when tensions arise, when you feel yourself frustrated, when you start noticing the specks, when you feel the need to point out the specks, when you feel the desire to deal with the specks in your spouse's eye, remember Jesus' words and embrace this truth. Plank patrol comes before speck inspection. Plank patrol before speck inspection. Every time you feel like you want to go on a little speck inspection, well, I better do plank patrol first. Better ask what's going on with me. And how do we do that? It's simple. We say, okay, what do I own in this situation? Because there's probably something. There's probably something beyond. And that's just not my idea. I mean, Jesus is the one who says to do this. And last week we talked about a book that I read in preparation for this series. It's called Boundaries in Marriage, written by two world-class psychologists. And they actually agree with this. This is their approach to marriage as well, because they're biblically based and they take what Jesus says and they believe it with their whole heart. And here's what they say we should do when there is tension, when there are moments, when we feel the need to want to correct our spouse, when we feel the need to want to point out something wrong in them. Here's what they say. Here's their words. They say, the innocent spouse, in other words, the person who doesn't feel like they did anything wrong, the person who wants to point out the speck, the innocent spouse needs to see what part, active or passive, he plays in the problem. Jesus called this the plank in our eye. We just read this. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. They keep going. They say, this plank may be some attitude or emotion that we aren't aware of that encourages the problem to continue. And I know what you're thinking. If they would fix the problem, I wouldn't have a bad attitude. If they would fix the problem, then I wouldn't have the emotion. That's the problem. But if you were here last week, you remember, we have to own our emotions. We have to own our attitudes. Remember these experts? They gave us a whole list of things that are our responsibility, not our spouse's. Let me read it for you again in case you missed last week. Each spouse must take responsibility for the following things. Ready for this? Feelings, attitudes, behaviors, choices, limits, desires, thoughts, values, talents, and love. That means we have to own those things. And the way we own them is to go on plank patrol. The way we own them is to decide that plank patrol comes before spec inspection. What do I own in this situation? For example, let's say that you are the on-time person in your family. Some of you, that's real funny to think that you're the on-time person. Just use your imagination for a second. Let's imagine you're the on-time person and your spouse is the late person. Okay, if you are an on-time person, you know how you feel about the late people. They're very frustrating. We get upset. We get confused because it's so easy to be an on-time person. It's not hard at all. And we want to change the late people. We want to help the late people. We want to point out the speck of lateness. But I don't know about you, but most of us do it through the plank of passive aggressiveness. See, their lateness makes us angry. Their lateness makes us frustrated, or so we think. And so we hold them responsible for our frustration. We hold them responsible for our anger. We hold them responsible for our passive aggressiveness, and we feel entitled to spew that onto them and then get confused why they stay late. They don't want to be early for that. What Jesus is saying is, hey, even in those situations, even if they're late, you don't have a right to mistreat them because you are responsible for your behaviors and you are responsible for your emotions and you are responsible for your attitudes. And so if their lateness causes you in your mind to mistreat them, Plank Patrol says, I've got to own that I've mistreated them. I've got to own that I've been disrespectful. I've got to own that I have allowed myself and give myself permission to dismiss them, to be passive aggressive to them, to be frustrated with them, to speak negatively at them because of something they're doing. They have to own their behaviors. I have to own my response. And so Plank Patrol says, hey, honey, I apologize for the way I treated you when you were late. And then stop talking. Because what we normally do is, I'm sorry, but if you weren't late, no. No buts. You guys get the but negates the I'm sorry, right? Like, you understand this. You're smart people. Plank Patrol says, I'm going to own my attitude. You don't have the power to make me be mean. Your lateness does not control my meanness. And if I am mean because you are late, I'm sorry. The end. And they will deal with their lateness whenever Jesus changes them. Now look, I don't have time to go through every single example in marriage of how this works and how this plays out because there's just too many. But there is one area I kind of want us to focus on for the rest of our time. Because I've been married for almost 20 years, been in ministry longer, and I've seen this over and over and over and over again. And we miss it because we don't go on Plank Patrol. We miss it because we spend all our time on spec inspection and we want to blame the other people, typically our spouse, when we struggle, when we have things we don't understand. And so what I want to do is I kind of want to help us all get what I think is probably one of the biggest reasons we have tension in marriage and we fight and we struggle. And it's because we forget something that is so clear, that is so apparent. When I say it, you're going to say, well, of course, everybody knows that, and we all know it, but we forget it when we get married and things get tense, okay? So here's kind of the thing everybody knows, but we all just kind of forget, okay? Every single one of us in this room that's married, every single one of us in this room that eventually is going to be married, every single person in this room that's ever been married and thinking about maybe ever getting married again, there is a reality you know, but you sometimes forget. You had a life before you met your spouse. Not only a life, you had an entire set of experiences. I did, you did, we all did. We all had what I'm calling before spouse experiences. You were raised in a family. Or you were raised by someone. Maybe you would say, I was raised by no one. That is a before spouse experience you had. We had good experiences before we met our spouse. We had bad experiences before we met our spouse. And each and every one of those experiences shaped us and molded us and made us the men or the women that we are. And we bring all of those experiences to marriage. And because of those experiences, we bring certain things to marriage. We bring expectations to marriage. Expectations of roles in the house. Well, growing up, my mom did this and my dad did this, so that's what I expect. Well, growing up in my house, I only had a mom, and she did everything, and so that's what I expect. Well, when we were a certain age, we used to take these number of trips a year, and so that's what I expect. Well, when I was growing up, we didn't have the ability to take those kind of trips, and so I think we need to save the money and be more careful, because that's what my life experience has taught me. See, because of those experiences, we bring expectations to marriage. But not just expectations, we bring fears and doubts. Because not all our expectations are good. Some of them are bad. I mean, it's not all of our experiences were good. Some of them are bad. Some of them hurt. And so we fear those happening again. Or for some of us, the experiences were so great growing up, we fear being able to match it. We doubt our ability to be able to do it. We bring that to marriage. We bring that to our spouses. And with those fears and doubts often comes insecurities. Again, based on experiences, based on the way the bar was set, based on the highs, based on the lows, we bring that insecurity from experiences that happened before we knew our spouse existed. We bring them with us to marriage. And these insecurities often lead to bad habits. Bad habits that we bring. Bad habits that we've accumulated over time. Bad habits that we've adopted because they help us cope. They help us deal with the experiences we had growing up. The experiences we had before we knew our spouse's name. Every one of us in this room has had a myriad of before spouse experiences. They molded you. They shaped you. Your highs, your lows, your strengths, your weaknesses, your fears, your confidence. All molded, all shaped before you met this person. And because we all had all these experiences, we bring to marriage what I'm calling before spouse issues. We bring struggles. We bring deficits. We bring things that affect our marriage. And this is where we forget that we had a before spouse life, because we bring our before spouse issues and we expect our current spouse to fix them. And we blame them for them. And we blame them for them because often they set them off. Unwittingly. Let me give you an example. Pure hypothetical. Have you ever been in a situation with your spouse? You're having a conversation. It's not particularly heated. But, it's not also like, what do you want for dinner? It's a little tense. It's like maybe a 2 out of a 10, maybe a 3 out of a 10 in the level of like where the tension is and what's happening in it. You're good. You're calm. It's like a 2 out of 10. They seem good and they seem calm. I seem a 2 out of 10. And then all of a sudden they say something that's still like a 2 or a 3 out of 10. Okay, objectively speaking, looking back, you can say that was a 2 or 3 out of a 10. But when they said it, when they did it, when they did the 3 out of 10, you responded like a 10 out of 10. And you exploded on them. And you dug deep. You started pulling out everything you could they'd ever done wrong. And you started throwing and you started screaming and you started yelling. And when it was over, even you looked at yourself and you're like, where did that come from? What just happened? That was a before spouse issue. They just happened to set off the landmine. And what I believe Jesus wants us to do is help to begin to see and to acknowledge and to identify these before spouse issues. Before spouse is a little wordy. You cool if I just call them BS issues? Is that okay? When they do a 2, you respond with a 10. That's some BS. And some of your spouses have been calling it BS for years. And you had no idea that it was a before spouse issue. And what we have to do is to learn to identify these before spouse issues, this pain, this hurt, these things we bring to marriage. And we have to do what we were talking about. We have to go plank patrol on these issues. We have to say, okay, what do I own in this situation? Because here's what actually happens in those moments. Because you don't understand what happened, you first blame yourself, and then that doesn't make sense because you didn't mean to do it, and then you blame them. Well, clearly they did something wrong. And what Jesus would say to me and to you and to us is, no. You're not wrong. They're not wrong. Something wrong happened to you. And whatever they said, whatever they did, triggered that wrong. It triggered that pain from the past. And we've all got pain and hurt from the past. And we all carry it with us because when our gracious, loving Heavenly Father created us and He created our bodies, He created us to live in perfection with Him. That was the desire. When we chose to sin, we broke it. But these bodies were not equipped for sin. And so when we are sinned against, it leaves pain. It leaves a wound. And some of them are little, and some of them are very big. And when we bring that pain, when we bring that wound into marriage, we get confused because we don't understand why it gets set off. And because they're the ones who said it, we think, well, it must be their fault. And what Jesus is inviting us to do is say, no. Come to me. Come to me and let me help lead you to healing in those dark places. I can't get into the full process of how this works today. I don't have time. But if you were here last fall, or even if you weren't, we did a series last fall called You Good, which was all about mental and emotional health. And in week two of that series, if you want to go back and watch it, I talk very specifically about how Jesus helps us do this. How we can take the pain from the past, we can take past hurts that are affecting our present, we can take them to Jesus, and He leads us to help. And that typically involves a professional counselor. Because that professional counselor can begin to unpack, begin to uncover the source of the pain, the source of the hurt, and when Jesus is helped, we apply Jesus' truth to it, and we actually get healed. We're actually made whole. Because of what Jesus can do. This is the tough work of marriage. This is the tough work of plank patrol. It's looking yourself in the mirror. It's getting quiet with Jesus and saying, okay, what are the issues that are still affecting my marriage that happened before I met my spouse? And if you are unsure if any of these issues are popping up in your marriage, I want to give you three examples. I can't give them all, but I want to give you three examples, one of which we've already talked about. Some of the signs of before spouse issues. We just mentioned the first one, outbursts of anger. Uncontrolled, unexplainable snapping. If that's ever happened to you, number one, I'm so sorry. Let me explain what's going on. Something happened to you in the past. And it hurt. And somewhere along the way, your body learned that causing you to snap, causing you to lose your temper, was the only way you could fight back and make it stop. And so, in current life, when your spouse says something within the vicinity of that wound, completely innocent, having no idea what's going on, your body doesn't know the difference. Your body believes you are in danger. And so your body says, snap! And you do. Because the body is still protecting the hurt. And then you snap. And then you regret it. And you look in the mirror and you blame yourself. You say, what's wrong with me? Jesus says nothing. Something happened to you. And if you want to stop the snap, you have to heal the hurt. You have to let your body know it's okay now. And again, that is what professional counseling is for. In fact, when we're done today, you can stop by the Blue Room and we have some recommendations for you. Because you can't fix it yourself. You can't. You need Jesus. And you need him to lead you to a professional who can help you unpack and reframe and close that wound and settle it on the rock that is Jesus. He and he alone can heal what sin hurt. Your spouse can't. No other person can. But with Jesus as the rock, you can be healed of that. As opposed to doing what we do now, which is blame our spouses for it. So if this ever happened to you, I want to tell you what's happening. Your body is dysregulated. That's the word. It is the natural response to fear. It's your body's way of protecting you. And the underlying wound can be healed by Jesus. There's a quote I learned over the last year or two that I think will help all of us in this moment, and it's this. If it's hysterical, it's historical. When you feel yourself losing control and anger and you can't understand why it's happening, no, it's because of something that happened to you in the past. It's not this moment. It's not what they said. It's not what they did. It's not that they burned the pot roast. Something deeper is hurt. And plank patrol means we go to Jesus and we say, Jesus, this hurts. Can you help? And he will. But it's not just outbursts of anger. The other extreme that I've seen is sometimes people will completely shut down in tense situations. You ever find that? When you're fighting with your spouse, you ever hit a point where it's just like, I'm done. I can't talk. Like you feel like your whole body, like you almost want to go to sleep. And you just say, I can't do it now. I'm done. Or maybe you can't even talk and you need to just go to your room or go to your closet. You need to sit and you're just quiet. Again, a wound has been touched. Your spouse was dancing around it. They didn't mean to. They didn't know. But a wound was touched. You were triggered. And your body learned anger didn't work. And whatever was happening to you, but getting quiet did. Shutting down did. Sometimes it was a defense mechanism. Say, hey, I don't want you to be a part of this, or we're going to turn your head the other way. Just pretend like it's not happening. It's called dissociation. And again, it's a way God wired our bodies to protect us. And it has a role. But if it's showing up in your marriage, it's an indicator that there's an issue in your soul, there's some pain, there's some hurt somewhere that needs to be healed. And your Heavenly Father wants to heal it. So sometimes we get dysregulated, sometimes we get dissociated. And then sometimes what I've seen is we just fight. Another sign of before spouse issues is fighting about the same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Now I don't mean little squabbles. You're two becoming one. Like you're going to have tension. You're going to have things you fight about. I'm talking about the fights you see coming like an hour ahead. You know? I'm talking about the fights where, like, you could do both sides of the fight yourself because you've had it so many times. You know what you're going to say. You know what they're going to say back. You know what you're going to say back because you've had it so many times. You fall into a narrative, you never do this. They fall into a narrative, well, you never do that. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And this fight never gets solved. You just get tired. And you move on. And then you say, well, that was about something silly. We were fighting about a toaster. No, you weren't fighting about a toaster. The toaster started the fight. Here's what you were fighting about. One of your before spouse wounds was directly in conflict with one of their before spouse wounds. And you each wanted the other one to fix you. And so you fight. Let's say your or one spouse's before spouse wound leads them to fear abandonment. They fear it. They're afraid of jumping in too hard because they don't want to get hurt. And so their defense mechanism is to withhold. They withhold praise. They withhold love. They withhold those things because they're afraid, because they're scared. Because their body tells them, if you do that, you'll be hurt. And they fear it so much, they protect themselves. Now, another spouse doesn't feel valuable, doesn't feel worthy of love because of their before spouse experiences. And so the one thing they need more than anything else in the world is verbal affirmation. The one thing they need is praise. The one thing they need is for somebody to tell them, you're great, you're perfect, you're wonderful, I'll never leave you, I'll trust you. Well, when you have the fear of abandonment and massive insecurity, you know what happens? You fight about it all the time. Because each spouse is expecting the other spouse to solve their before spouse struggles. Now what Jesus is saying is, guys, I'm the answer. I am so sorry about what happened to you. And if you let me, if you trust me, I'll heal it. I'll solve it. I'll set you free. But they can't do it. And the more you blame them for it, the worse your marriage gets, if it lasts at all. And so what Jesus is saying is, guys, come to me. Especially once you realize that some of the deepest struggles you have happened before you met your spouse. Come to me. But the only way we get there, the only way this happens, is when we adopt this truth that plank patrol comes before spec inspection. That I got to start with, what do I own in this situation? Well, what happened this week? What happened? If when there's tension, when there's frustration, when you feel the need to point out a speck because it's just driving you crazy, what would happen if in that moment you said, you know what, Jesus, I'm not going to do that. What do I own in this situation? Have I been bitter? Have I been passive-aggressive? Have I been angry about this? Well, then before I point out their speck, how about if you give me the opportunity to apologize? You want to talk about lowering the temperature of your marriage? Or, hey, babe, you know what? I've been thinking, and I think I have some stuff that's going on inside of me from way back, and I've been taking that on you, and I'm really sorry, and I'm gonna go get some help. You know what you're doing? You are readjusting the standard by which you will be judged. Because remember, whatever standard we use, the standard they're going to use back. So when you lead with, hey, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I messed up. When you lead with, hey, this isn't about you, I need some help. You know what happens when you lead that way? They respond that way. Because vulnerability begets vulnerability. And it gives them permission to say, hey, you know what, me too, I'm sorry. And then when you have two spouses actively engaged in plank patrol, you know what you rarely, if ever, need? Spec inspection. Because Jesus is real good at pointing out the planks. And when we're letting him clean the planks, turns out we don't have any specs. Not ones that matter. What would happen if you chose this week to do a little plank patrol? What would happen if you decided to admit that you're struggling with some before spouse issues? Here's the thing. You'll never know until you try it. But if we want to be whole people, got to follow Jesus. We got to believe Jesus. And he says he can help. So my prayer for every married family in this room is that God will give us an opportunity this week to do some plank patrol. And out of that will come conversations. And out of that will come next steps. And as we follow, and as we believe, we'll discover as we land next week, it becomes much easier to love how he's called us to love. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful. We're so grateful for your son. We're grateful that you want to be a part of every detail in our lives. Father, I just pray, open us up this week. Show us the issues we brought to marriage. Show us the pain. Show us the struggles, Father, and give us steps to heal. May we stop holding our spouses accountable for things that happened before we met them. May we turn to you so you can heal them. So we can love our spouses like you love them. We are thankful for your help. And we need you in our hurt. Join us and show us the path out. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray.